our Father, and our God. We come humbly before you today. We do so intentionally. We do so with great care. And we do so boldly, Lord, because you are not only our God, but you are our Father. And we look to you today to open our eyes through your word and by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you would change us today, that these words that you have given us through your Son to equip us to pray more fruitfully, more fully, more God-honoring prayers. We ask that this would change the way we pray today, so that the rest of this day, the rest of this week, and the rest of our lives, as we consider our daily bread, we would have thoughts, full and robust thoughts, that would encourage our prayers to greater heights and bigger perspectives than we have now. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and we acknowledge up front, you are the one who holds all things. We find ourselves here on this day only by your grace, a day that we don't deserve, that you have given so graciously to us. And so we want to use this day, Lord, for your glory. We want to find in this day all that we can of you and your glory, and worship and sing your praise and live out your truth and show the world who you are. That is our prayer. Make it come to pass, Lord, only by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we started a number of weeks back with the approach to prayer. And first, it's important to examine our motives. How we approach the Lord in our heart makes all the difference. And then Jesus encouraged us and exhorted us to approach God with our minds so that we don't use idle babble or thoughtless chatter, but we come with words, thought through, careful and intentional words. And then he said, I want you, in verse 9, to pray this way: Our Father in heaven. And we looked at how important those two concepts were brought together. He is our Father. Yes, we have a Father in God, but only if Jesus is our Savior can we ever truly say that word, Father. Oh, Father. And so, the importance of the cross, right off the bat. If you are a son and a daughter of the Father, you have come to know Jesus as your Savior. That is the only way you can rightfully call God your Father. And then in heaven, he is high and lifted up. He is exalted. And so we dare not come flippantly before the God of all creation. He is our Father and he is our God. And then the first and most overarching request that you could ever pray, hallowed be your name. And the follow, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, rule and reign in us. Establish on this earth the kind of worship, the kind of submission to your rule and reign that exists right now in heaven. Bring it to earth and start here with me, with each of us. Begin it and move through us to do these things. Now, we come to this request in verse 10, and it's almost as if, or verse 11, it's almost as if this is a different prayer completely. We move from these huge, sweeping, God-prioritized requests to Jesus teaching us to pray to our Father for bread. And it almost seems sacrilegious or not very spiritual. But, yeah, okay, your name, your kingdom, your will, yes. Oh, and we need some bread. What? Oh, but this is the secret of the prayer. How the big, sweeping requests come together with the daily realities of our lives. So I want to focus on that today. Give us this day our daily bread. And I want to use a method today that I learned from my dad, and many of you would know as well. It's just a meditation method. You just look at the words, and you emphasize the words, and you move through. So in your outline, you'll notice I broke each word out, some of them in pairs, but we're going to be breaking down each word and just sitting on these words and considering, now, why would he say it this way? What does this imply? What does this mean? So, give us this day our daily bread. When you're meditating on the Word of God, here's a great way to do this. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. Give us this day. This day, our daily bread. Give us this day. This day. Give us this day our. Our. What does that mean? What does that imply? You see how that does? And it emphasizes different aspects of the wording that the Scriptures bring us, because every single word matters in the Word of God. It's there for a reason. And when Jesus gives us a prayer that short and says, pray this way, then, more than anything, every word matters. Okay? So give us this day our daily bread. Okay, so let's focus first on the transition here. Those who truly pray, the first three petitions, Packer says, thereby commit themselves to live holy for God. The natural and logical next request is for food, then, to give them energy to do this. I love that transition. That helps me. Okay, I'm praying these massive things, and then I'm over here, and I'm aware, you know what? I need bread to make this happen. I need to be sustained in order for your kingdom to come now on this earth through me. Sustain me, Lord, right? So let's look at this. Give. On your outline, there's one point under this. Give. Give us this day our daily bread. This is not a demand, but a request. This is not like a child telling his parent, give me food. Give me the toy. This is not a command or a demand, but a request. This comes, Lord, Father, God, provide for us. We pray. We look to you to provide for us these things in this way. It comes humbly. Obviously, we've just prayed these huge God-centered requests, the first three. So it wouldn't be at all right to see this as a name it and claim it kind of thing. This is, Lord, provide for us. Please, we make this request to you. Comes humbly. John Wesley says, we claim nothing of right, but only of free mercy. We deserve not the air we breathe, the sun, the earth that bears, or the sun that shines upon us. That would be a humble perspective in our prayers. Father, we come to you when we understand that this day itself, this is a gift. And food, our food that we eat, it's a gift. And so we pray that way. Give us. We acknowledge we have needs. You don't. You have no need. We have needs. And we have needs that only you can meet. And that need deals at the level even of bread and food. Total dependence on God. Total dependence on God. Do you remember a sermon I did when we were going through Philippians where Jeff Morrow was sitting up here eating that homemade apple pie that was hot out of the oven, and we could smell it. I don't know if you could. I sure could, and I watched him devour this pie, at least a quarter of it, as I'm preaching. And I'm thinking about the concept of hunger. And what we learned in that context is that hunger is a reminder, a constant reminder, that I am a dependent person upon something beyond me. God is not dependent upon anything. He never needs. He doesn't lack. We are dependent upon him in all things. All things. So, daily bread. Reminder. Don't forget. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Give us this day our daily bread. It's in the prayer. An amazing thing to pray. Now let's look at the next section here. I group these two things together. Us and our. Give us our daily bread. This is not me and my. That's fascinating. Us and our. He's praying in the plural, not the singular. This is not an individualistic prayer. This is actually a family prayer. On your notes, fill that one in. That give us. Us. Well, who's us? Our daily bread. The family. This is the family of which you are a part. Obviously, the immediate family would be in view, but I think there's something more than that at work here. The kingdom of God. You're a part of the kingdom of God. You have just prayed, and submitted your will to His. You prayed, "Your kingdom come, Lord, in me. Your will be done in me. I want to hallow your name. You are the king. I'm part of the kingdom. We have a king. He's on the throne. We then are kingdom people." And so as we pray, as we think about needs, we think about needs more than just the me and the my. We think about the us and the our. The us and the our. Kingdom people pray with a kingdom mindset. Now, this is tough for us Americans, right? We tend to think very individualistically. We tend to live in kind of me and my most of the time. It's hard for us to move beyond this, but the kingdom of God requires us to pray, "Give us our daily bread." So my needs are part of the needs, and your needs I see as my own as well. It's our needs, our dependence, our daily bread. A fascinating thing. I want to look at the common in our community. If you would turn to page 911 in your blue Bibles, Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. It describes what the early church did, how they lived, how they thought, what their practice was. We can take notes on this. We can gain from this example. The common in our community. And when I say common, I don't mean the everyday, the normal. I mean the shared, that which is in common between us. That would be Christ. Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Oh, that's interesting. The breaking of bread and the prayers. Wow. A lot of common ground here. You see that coming together. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together. And they had all things in common. They had all things in common. The common in our community. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they attended the temple together, doing what? Breaking bread. Breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, look at how many times the common in our community comes up, and it happens around prayer, around food, around the teaching of God. It's fascinating. Not only here in the church or the temple, but from house to house. It's one of the big reasons we have small groups. Is there's more than just the Sunday experience. This is throughout the week. Something we share, something we enjoy together. The common in our community. Kingdom people pray with a kingdom priority. They think kingdom. They think the rest of us as we pray. I mean, one of the easiest ways to do this is just to use your bulletin. The back page of that bulletin. Consider the needs that we have. Our needs. We keep moving now to bread. Give us our daily bread. Bread. And when I was looking at this word and considering these things and studying, it just hit me that maybe it's obvious to you guys, but that bread is bread. Talking about bread. This is not anything like super, super spiritual. We're talking about food. Bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need food to sustain us. It's kind of funny. I'm really not a bread guy. So I went to the store. I made a special trip to Hagen to the bread aisle. And I bought a loaf of bread, you know, like in the aisle with all this stuff. And brought it home, it was all in the wrapper, and I was like, man, how am I going to unwrap this? And it's all sliced. And Jenny said, you could have gone to the bakery, you know? I'm like, oh, they have bread there? Yeah, welcome to the 21st century. Daily bread, sliced. I don't know, what does this look like when it's not sliced? Here is bread. Bread is bread. Consider this. We must be enabled to continue our existence in this world. We are alive, and we must be kept alive. There is nothing life-giving about this bread unless God says this bread is life-giving. So, in a sense, I, in an act of faith, put this in my mouth and have it do what it's supposed to do. Who makes it do what it's supposed to do? I certainly don't. I just put it in my mouth. God. God transforms a loaf of bread into life-giving energy to sustain our lives. And if he should so choose that it would not do that, we would die. No matter how much bread we had, we would die. Our Father in heaven concerns himself with the items on a grocery list, Haddon Robinson said. For our next meal matters to him. Food, that which we eat, it matters to God. So when you go shopping, the things that you put in the cart, it's not trivial. It's spiritual. A spiritual shopping trip to Hagen or to Safeway if you're up from Linden, you know. When you go shopping, it's a spiritual act. Wow. I'm getting kind of hungry, actually. Food for our next meal matters to him. No need too small, no need too great. Consider this. We have just prayed for the glory of God to be made sanctified or set apart on this earth as it is in heaven. We've prayed for his kingdom to come massive, global, divine, cosmic-sized request, and his will to be submitted to and brought near and obeyed fully. And then we're praying for a loaf of bread. Important. Jesus says this is a massively important thing to consider. No need too small to pray about. No need too great to pray about. We look to you, Lord, to sustain us. That's really what's happening here. Give us this day our daily bread. Sustain us, Lord. If you don't sustain our lives, we will not exist. We will not see these prayer requests made real in our lives and participate with you in your kingdom on this earth. Sustain us with little and with lots. Now, you can take the coin and you can flip it back and forth. When you have little and you pray this prayer, you struggle to not worry that the Lord will answer his prayer. Anxiety. This verse here. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. He knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when there is little, when there is not a lot of bread to go around, when the job loss hits and you're looking at your budget at the end of the month and you're saying, it's not there, give us this day our daily bread. Sustain us, Lord. We look to you. Sustain us. You are the giver of all things, including a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread. You give it. We look to you. Now, with lots, flip the coin. This can be an equal challenge. With lots. When the pantry is jammed full and you come home from work and you smell that wonderful lasagna and you hear the French bread, there was the garlic bread in the oven, and it just slaps you right in the face when you walk in the door. Whoa! With lots. Now, kids, let's pray. Give us this day our daily bread. This is from you. It's from you. You gave us this food. Lest we forget, this garlic bread is from you. It's a gift. Now, this is an interesting angle. We ask for bread, not for cake. Okay? Now, I don't know back then in the day. Obviously, we're dealing with some cultural differences here. Daily bread was daily bread. No preservatives there, no freezers going on. It happened daily. And cake, I don't exactly know what all cake looked like. I know what cake looks like now. It looks good. Okay? We ask for bread, though, not for cake. There is an entire wing of Christianity that makes the gift the object of worship rather than the giver. And the prayers have everything to do with praying for health, wealth, and prosperity. A really happy smile, nice hair product for your hair, a trophy wife, a monster-sized house on the top of the hill, the fastest, a gold toilet. I mean, fill in the blank. It's out there, okay? It's out there. We should pray for our best life now. Or we should pray to become a better me. I don't see that in this prayer. This is a prayer for bread, not cake. This is a prayer for what is it that we need today? Today. What is it that we need today? Call back to your minds Exodus, when the people of God were wandering in the wilderness and the Lord brought that, what is it to them? That they called manna. Literally translates, what is it? They didn't know, but it tasted good, kind of like honey. And he said, I want you to gather enough for what? For the day. And what did they do? We just talked about it actually in Sunday school this morning. They hoarded it. And what did God do? He turned it into a stinky, worm-infested pile that they couldn't eat. We ask for bread, not for cake. Daily reminders of his giving to us what we need. Now, if the Lord wants to give you a cake, praise him for it. There's nothing wrong with getting a cake from God. It's a great thing. But the point is, in our prayer, we focus on the bread. Sustain us, give us what we need. What we need. Needs, not luxuries. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now tell me, when you tune in the TV and you hear preaching, run it through that verse. Always. What is the treasure being sold in that sermon on TV? I had to delete those channels from our TV list because I get entranced and lost in judgmentalism and I fall into sin because I get so angry. That's the gift. It's not the giver. If he chooses to give you cake, great. That's the gift. Christ. Christ is the gift. Put your treasure in that and get what you need for the day from him and leave it at that. Don't build your kingdom on this earth. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot, Jesus says, not far after this context of the prayer, he says these words, you cannot serve God and money. Find a church that serves God and not money. Find mentors and leaders and speakers and authors who serve God and not money, and you will find rooted, consistent Bible teaching. Anything less than that will leave you hollow and greedy. Cannot serve God and money. This day, daily, this day, give us this day our daily, this day, daily bread. Every day is a gift. The fact that we could use the idea daily, this day, the fact that we could ever say this day, is grace. Grace that we actually don't deserve. We don't deserve this day. The fact that we are here together in this room, his grace, his goodness to us. Sinners deserve instant, forever punishment for sin. And here we stand. Grace. What do we need for today? We don't hoard. We think when we pray, our. We don't think me, my. We think our. What is it that we need for this day? And we're happy with that. Paul says in Philippians, I have found the secret of being content with a little or with a lot. There's a secret there. And then I'm listening to this debate the other day. And the guy who was basically an atheist, said, greed is an excellent thing. It propels our society forward. You should be greedy. You should covet what your neighbor has. It moves us forward. It causes us to innovate and create and keep moving forward. It's a great motivator. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, contentment is not understood in our day. There's no category for contentment. What do we need for this day? I think it's very hard to define that word, need. It's easy for in our prayers for it to slip in. Lord, I know I don't really need this, but ooh, that cake sure looks good. What do we need to accomplish the first three requests for this day? Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Don't worry about hoarding, stockpiling. What do we need for this day? Now let's go live this day. Why three meals every day of the week? I was watching the Penguin movie. I don't remember what it's called, March of the Penguins or something like that. They eat, and then they go. How long? 3 months? Is that what my memory serves? Anyone? Any penguin watchers out there? Okay, I'll just watch my own penguin movie. These things are crazy. They can eat and survive for months at a time in cold, cold climates. Think of bears. Okay, we know bears. What do? They hibernate. How come God wired us to have to eat so much? He didn't have to do it. I would kind of think that we would all be a lot more productive if that was the qualifier of success in life. How about once a month, one meal, good to go? Think of the time we spend preparing, eating, and cleaning up after ourselves when it comes to food. Once a month, save a lot of time, wouldn't it? Why three meals a day? Total dependence upon God. I need food. I look up, He gives food. He gives food. The food is a gift. It's almost like God is saying, don't forget. I wired you to be who you are so that you would never forget that I don't ever have needs and you are needy. And I delight to meet your needs. Now, ask me. Ask me and watch what I do. Bringing our daily needs to God in prayer honors God. It's part of His godness. The isness of God delights to meet the needs. And in response, we get the opportunity to glorify Him. Every day is an opportunity. Every day, our daily bread is an opportunity. Today is more than we deserve. This meal, this food is more than we deserve. And we sing to the glory of God, and we eat to the glory of God. Look at this. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when we sit down and we have that French bread, that garlic bread with that lasagna, and it's just unbelievable, the first thing we say is, this is a gift. Why should we pray before our meals? That's one big reason right there. Because this meal is from Him. And secondly, the reason it tastes so good is His glory. His glory. And we eat it for the glory of God. We are grateful, Lord. We give You glory. Thank You for this bread. Give us this day our daily bread. There is so much more that could be said. Jesus, I am the bread of heaven. Right? The Word, feeding on it like bread. There's so much that could be expanded out upon this concept of bread, but if we just move through the words, give us this day our daily bread, food. It should expand the way we pray. It should heighten and broaden our prayers. So a few things in response, just some questions. How involved does God intend to be in our lives? When you consider the way you pray, where do you, in your mind, we do this, Lord, this is insignificant to You. I won't even bother You with this. But, here's some big things, So-and-so, we're praying that they find You, Lord, that You would find them, that You would give them life. We're praying for healing, and we've got this prayer over here. Food, I don't want to bother you. How involved does God intend to be in our lives? Jesus instructs His followers to pray to the Father God about food, the shopping list, bread. That's how involved. Every detail, everything. There is nothing insignificant to pray about. at every level of your life, God desires to be involved. How much of my prayer life do I include in my prayers to God? How much of my life, the scope of my life, do I include when I pray? I got to admit, I don't often ask the Lord to put food on the table. And then when I see it, I don't often think he did that. Ethan, the other night, we're sitting down to dinner. Jen just did an amazing job cooking this meal. And I'm like, guys, who do we have to thank for this food? Right out of his mouth, God, we have to thank for this food. You're right, son. You are right. That's so right. Who else do we have to thank? Mom, yes. Good job, Mom. Right? Let's get that order correct. In an age of mega malls and Costco and Amazon.com, do I hold my daily bread as a gift from my Father? When I can, with a click of a button, have delivered to my doorstep just about anything I can imagine. When I can go to Costco, I almost did this. I was going to take a video camera and just go do like man on the street interviews at Costco and be like, seriously, 5 gallons of peanut butter? Wow. I mean, do you run a restaurant? Or I love Costco. I love shopping at Costco. But I feel in me when I go a hoarding thing. Well, why buy 4 rolls of toilet paper when you can buy 40, man? Come on. It's loaded up. Jen hates taking me to Costco. I am their ideal customer. But we need this more than ever. When the pantry is full, we are such a rich people. You can walk into the store 24/7 and know they have bread. So much bread, you stand there and you scratch your head. I just want a little bread, man. I don't know what all this stuff is. It's there. Some places in the world, it's not. In this day and age, it was not what it is today. So more than ever, we need this prayer to be reminded, this is a gift from you. We don't deserve this. This bread, it's yours. How much does the reality of our total dependence upon God find expression in our prayers? Every ounce of life that is in us, he holds. He holds. If we need a loaf of bread, a winter coat, a pair of shoes, do we ask our Heavenly Father? If you need a loaf of bread, if you need a pair of shoes, do I even notice? Am I thinking us and our, or am I thinking me and my when it comes to Good Shepherd Community Church? I got to tell you guys, I want to commend you for the job you do of meeting needs in this church. I am blown away. I give praise to God for what I see. I get phone calls, can I come and visit you? Sure, that'd be great. We just had visitors, though. You did? Yeah. Praise God. I can't get there quick enough, and the people have already been. I hear about small groups caring for people with love like their own family members, inviting them into their homes when they have needs and meeting needs sometimes anonymously with joy. And sometimes people don't know how to deal with this when they walk into our church, because our church is a place where the love of God is shown in very tangible ways. I commend you for the job you're doing. And I encourage us all, Let's go farther. Let's keep this going. In our prayers, when we pray, do we pray for the needs of our family here? The needs of our missionaries abroad? What does it look like at Thanksgiving for those of us in this church? What about those in this church who might be eaten alone? How about bringing them on over, inviting them in? What does it look like for Christmas? For some of the kids in this church who don't have a lot to deal with, maybe just one parent going on, what does that look like for our family? To think us and our more than me and my. Certainly the boxes, the shoe boxes, fit into that quite well. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for just the simplicity of this prayer request. I thank you, God, for being the kind of God that concerns yourself with just the little things of my life, just the food that we will eat after the church today. We're going to go from here and we're going to have lunch. And you are the giver of that food. We're grateful for that. Not only do you give that food, but you make that food do what it needs to do so that you would sustain us and give us the strength to work out those first three requests: your name to be set apart and your kingdom to be established on this earth and your will to be obeyed and submitted to joyfully and fully. I pray, Father, that those in this church who have needs would bring them before you, that they would pray their needs, the little tiny ones and the big massive ones, that they would pray them to you and that they would bring us in on that so that we could share in that, in meeting those needs. We know, Lord, there's needs in this church. We've got some people who are out of work. We've got some people who are going through some tough times, and we want more than ever to put this prayer request to work in our family here. We want to live the us and our out, Lord. Forgive us for thinking too small of your involvement in this world, for assuming that you deal only with the large and big cosmic level things, not just bread. Forgive us for that, Lord, and equip us to pray with detail and specifically, for when we only pray in generalities, we only see you answer our prayers generally. So we want to do this, Lord, for your glory and for our joy. We pray that you would provide for us this day, today, what we need, our daily bread. And as you do, we will be quick to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.